Awesome Bremner with Cultivating Success. I have an amazing guest today, Dr. Amanda Barrietes, and she is an expert in money mindset. And if you've been listening to my podcast, you know that I think you guys need a lot of help in money mindset. So welcome, Dr. Amanda. Thank you so much for being a guest tonight.
Yeah. Hey, Allison, it's great to be on. And you're so right. Money mindset. Like, I've never yet met an entrepreneur who has like a heart-centered based business who doesn't have money issues and think like, oh, I love what I'm doing in the world, but I get really stuck in the direction of money and I don't quite know how to scale my business to the level that I want to and feel really good about it.
Absolutely. And you know, what I find, especially with students, is you're right, they're service. They're all thinking about service, 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 which is amazing, which will keep you fired up. But man, if you can't get people in the door and you can't know how to manage your money, I don't care how much you care. You're not going to be able to help as many people as you'd like.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, tell us your story first. Like, how did you get into this and what is the name of the service that you provide?
Yeah. So my company name is NFA Money, and NFA stands for No Fucking Around Money. And I love that concept because the essence of it is radical responsibility and that you can create anything that you choose to create. And so, you know, it's like NFA joy, NFA love, NFA service, NFA money, all the things that are really about this attitude of like, okay, I've chosen to do this. Now let's go get it. And so NFA is a fun brand that I created in the, you know, kind of the first year of my business. And I started myself in a really disempowered money place. So my journey into entrepreneurship really started with on the floor crying. And so I had this moment where I was on the floor crying. And I'm looking out at my empty basement where I had left my 15-year marriage having an affair. My next relationship wasn't working. And so he had moved out and I had spent the day, at the time it was Craigslist, like I was on Craigslist looking for houses and I couldn't find anything in my price range. I had three kids and I was in grad school and I was like, oh my God, I like don't know where I'm going to live. Anything that I could afford was like 500 square feet, one like studio apartment. And I'm just going like, oh my God, how is this going to work? I had already been seeing a free counselor who had talked me into going on food stamps. And I was just really stuck. And so I had this epiphany moment where I was kind of scanning my life course and I realized I'm the center of the problems. Like no one's coming to save me. No one put me in this situation. I really created it. And I was like, I got to do something different. And so I had this like moment where I just said to myself, I'm willing to do whatever it takes to learn how to have better relationships and change my money situation. And the cool thing was that led me to podcasts because I was already super busy. And so I was like, I'll just start listening to all the podcasts I can about relationships. And that led me to listening to money and really transforming myself from the inside out. I started implementing what I was learning and people started to notice and I started to change. And, you know, I always think the world works in this beautifully magical way where at the same time that all this was happening for me, my department where I was earning my graduate degree in sociology had this like national news fallout and professors were leaving. Everyone was stressed. And I was like, I don't want to be a professor anymore. This does not look like a great path for me. And so I decided I'm going to earn my degree because I was pretty close to the end at that time. And I'm just going to take the leap into entrepreneurship. And so I decided to go for it. And in my first year, I went six figures. And since then, it's just been this quest to really help people figure out how to do what they love and make a lot of money doing it.
Yeah, I think that sometimes really dark moments can be a blessing in disguise. And like, I would love, like part of this podcast, and I'm sure that you also want this, is that people don't have to have the crying on the floor issue. You know, they can see that their life is not what they want to be without hitting that rock bottom. But sometimes, man, that rock bottom, it forces you to look at and evaluate your life and then can bounce off that and become what you are later. And so sometimes it's a blessing when things don't go the way you're supposed to. And I hear that over and over again. I personally really like to watch like biographies on famous people, and it's the same story over and over again.
It's always like the hero's or the heroine's journey, right? It's like, there's the fall down and the get up. I have, I know where this is podcast audio, so people can't see, but I have like spirals all over my office and tattoos of spirals because I look at growth as an upward spiral trajectory where you get to expand exponentially, but you can't have the up without the down. And so the cool thing is that when you learn mindset tools, the downs don't feel so bad and they don't have to be so dramatic, mm-hmm. You know? So it's like really since that time, I haven't had one one of those moments where it's, well, that's not actually true. I've had some, but not, they get less and less and I'm able to handle them so differently. And now it's really like you get to choose your challenges of growth instead of having, I used to call it a shit storm. It was like just nonstop stuff coming my way because I was creating it and I didn't know it at the time, you know, and now it's really amazing to feel like I have tools to understand the game of life. And that's what I love to teach people because we have so much more power than we think we have.
Definitely. I mean, I know you, I think you listened to Abraham Hicks a bit and she calls that like the contrast, right?
Yeah.
And when you notice the contrast, that basically means you're going in the opposite direction, but it has to be there. You can't have all ups because that would be, well, one, that wouldn't be as fun if everything was just easy.
Yeah.
Well, let's get into some questions we have here for you. And the number one thing I'm sure people want to know is what's the most common negative money mindset that you think people have to overcome that you see all the time in your coaching business?
Man, there are so many, but I think the most common that is over and over the core of it. And I'll say what's beneath this, but the most common thing people say is I have to work hard to make money.
Yes.
Like I'd say that's the most common. It comes up time and time again. And really the core beneath that is I've got to prove myself. And it's, you know, so like it ties into so many different money beliefs where it's like, I'm not enough. There's never going to be enough. I don't know if there will be enough clients or customers. I don't know if I can make enough. If I want to scale to this level, there's never going to be enough time. There's not enough time to have a great relationship and build my business. Like just this not enoughness. And it causes us to push ourselves to work really hard and prove ourselves and burn out really. And so there's this cycle of like, oh, I'll make a whole bunch of money. I burn out. And then I slow momentum down, make a whole bunch of money, burn out. And so we all have this money set point. And a lot of it's based on thinking I got to work really hard to make money. And, you know, that's conditioned into us since we were young.
Definitely. I think like chiropractors, I know for a fact, suffer from that. And it's just, it's sort of like you're at school, like, oh, well, it's just extremely hard the first 5 years. There's nothing you can do about it. And like, it's just crazy. It doesn't like, yes, there is work involved. And yes, there'll be long hours. People equate working hours with money back to you. And money doesn't work like that. It doesn't work like hours. We're so conditioned, like you said, hours equal money, but that's actually not true. And if you get stuck in that, man, like how can you ever make a lot of money and be happy?
Totally. Yeah. You know, I like to think sometimes about like some of the hardest working people make the least amount of money.
Absolutely.
Which, and you know, the challenge there is it's like, it's a mindset thing. And some of the people who, let's say, effort the least and put the least hours in make the most because they know how to have their money make money for them. And so it's a mindset switch.
Absolutely. What do you think, you can give me another one besides that, that people you see all over all time?
Yeah. In terms of money beliefs. Yeah. So I always say there's three main money blocks. So money is bad, money is scarce, and money causes stress. Mm. So when that money is scarce and money causes stress, that would be, I got to work hard to make money. Money is bad. It comes with for people a lot who are in service-based industry where they're like, love supporting people. And they feel like it's almost like this spiritual calling to do what they're doing in the world. And in that, often they go like, well, it's not spiritual to make money doing what I'm doing. Or, you know, if they were really raised religious, sometimes it might be like money is the root of all evil. Or, oh, I already have enough. Just be grateful for what I have. Those are all rooted in this idea of like money somehow is bad. And if I get too wealthy, I might turn into a greedy jerk. And we see this one, you know, everywhere too. It's like in the movies.
Oh, I was going to say that. Who's the villain?
Yeah.
The villain is some rich guy, you know, he's like wants to control the world. And like, why would you want to acquire money if that is what you will end up being?
Exactly. So your subconscious, like you might consciously go, oh, I want to, you know, have a really successful business that makes a whole bunch of money and changes the world. But you have this subconscious belief money is bad. Your subconscious will protect you from becoming what you fear or hate. So it's going to keep you pulled back and held back from making bigger and bigger amounts of money.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. You're hitting on the head for all the things that I definitely see. And the reality too, I think that people get tripped up because it's a practice. Like I have to practice still things. There's some times where I will say something like, you know, you're driving down the road, some guy cuts you off in a Porsche and you're like, oh, that rich jerk, you know? And then I'm like, no, he's just a jerk.
Yeah.
You know, like it's irrelevant totally. How much money he has. So I think it is like it's a practice that you always are making sure and checking yourself that you're having your mindset that way, the way it should be.
Yeah. I love that you say that because I think people have this myth that like, oh, you're going to break through one belief and then everything's going to magically just be awesome. Yeah. You know, and that's the same thing as thinking you're going to have overnight success or success is a straight line curve. It doesn't work that way. And every new part of yourself is going to bump up against your unconscious belief system. So every time you go through that spiral curve of growth, it's like you're peeling back the layers of yourself. And this stuff is deeply rooted, you know, I read this really cool example the other day and I was like, that is so powerful to think about. Like, imagine when you were a kid and you had a sibling and you were both doing something and you kind of like did something big and that was awesome, but your mom looked at you with a negative, like maybe she didn't smile, her smile went away. And the message you read was like, don't outshine your sibling, right? That one smile, that one subtle moment can cause you to pull back from expanding yourself to your fullest potential as an adult because you have this fear that you're going to outshine other people and your mom won't be happy. Like,
yeah, definitely. And I think a lot of these negative money mindsets come from the family. And then it's even harder because it's like, oh, well, you're saying that my parents did something bad. And it's like, they didn't, they just, it was by default. They were not taught about these principles, therefore you weren't. So do you find that when people like kind of don't want to fix their mindsets because they're like, oh, if you say that, then therefore my parents were bad or they did something negative towards me?
I always address this. I always say to people, you know, this, when you learn to recognize your money beliefs, it isn't to demonize anybody, yourself included, right? Like it doesn't help to beat up your parents and go, oh, you raised me wrong and it's your fault. That disempowers you, disempowers them. The reason that you want to do this is because you want to go like, okay, what do I choose to believe from here on out? Knowing that my parents did the best that they knew how to do, and they were teaching the things they learned when they were kids, you know? So it's this intergenerational pattern of transmission, and it's our job. We get to have the power. If you're listening to this right now, it means you're ready to hear this and you're ready to transform. And so you get to go like, okay, hey, what were my money beliefs? I'm going to start to recognize them. And that way I get to have conscious choice around whether I will continue to opt into that belief or I'll reframe it into something different.
Definitely. Well, so there's the bad news. Let's talk about the good news. What can people listening right now, they're saying, hey, I am in this spot. I'm listening to this. I'm ready for a change. Can you give us some simple examples of how to start making that shift from a negative mindset of money to a positive mindset?
Yeah. So after getting to work with, I don't know, hundreds of entrepreneurs of different types all around the world of different income levels, I kept seeing patterns over and over again. And I'm always into creating strategies that are, I love the law of attraction and I love to make the law of attraction very, I mean, it's a science, right? So it's like learning the art and science and then having it be practically applicable. So I always make really simple, like quick win strategies that help you reprogram your brain. And so I created the NFA money formula. It's three steps and people can download this like with a video and steps and achieve sheet. It's very straightforward. And if you do this every day, really for the rest of your life, because you're always going to be needing to do this, just like you said earlier, it's a process and a practice. It's a lifestyle. Just like, you know, going to take care of your body. You don't just go do it once and then think you're set for life. You go do it over and over again. Same thing with your mindset. So this three-step formula is number one, recognize. So you got to start knowing what your beliefs are just by conscious awareness. So just like you said, like when you see the rich guy, you have that thought that's, oh, rich jerk, you know, cutting me off from the road. You just go like, there's a jerk cutting me off, right? Like you don't associate it with money, but you've got to have the conscious awareness to recognize that's part of your belief system. Then what you did instantly is you reframe it away from rich jerk to just, oh, there's a jerk who cut me off. And then you repeat the process over and over again, every time something like that happens. So it's the three steps. You recognize. Step two is you reframe. Step three is you repeat to reprogram. And what this does is starts reprogramming your subconscious mind. And that's the simplest, fastest fix that I could come up with that works wonders for you to start to retrain your program in the direction of your success instead of holding on to these limiting beliefs. And so, of course, you can dive way into this. I apply this to a whole bunch of methods, but it's like, that's the simplest, easiest, really actionable strategy that people can do.
Yeah, definitely. And I love that. And I think what would be great with that is getting an accountability partner so that you're helping each other, because sometimes you are recognizing, but sometimes you don't. Because it's so deep, like you said, in our subconscious and it's in society. So if you have someone, hey man, that was, you said that thing again, and you're like, oh, right. I mean, obviously you got to have a good relationship with someone to do that. But if you can find somebody that you're both on the same path, I think that the recognizing it first, like you said, that honestly is the hard part. Because I think that People just don't even realize that every day they're just more programming themselves over and over again to these things. And then
to the negative. Yeah.
Yeah. And then you watch the news, right? And like, that's terrible yeah. too.
It's or always... movies, right? Like fun movies, like where wealthy people are demonized.
It's you crazy. Know, so you go,
it's wild. It's coming at us at all points in time. And, mm-hmm. you know, we get programmed when we're little kids. And then what happens is that because you have that belief system that you don't even know is there because it's embedded in your subconscious belief system, you then look for it to be true because we are always looking to validate our beliefs. And so then you find evidence for it. And then you just keep recreating the story over and over again. And so it gets wired into your brain very deeply. Like I think of it like a sled hill. Like mm-hmm. when you go down a sled hill over and over and over again, it's the path of least resistance and it just shoots to the bottom fast after people go down it thousands of times. Same thing in your brain. And so the reprogram process takes a little bit at first. You've got to be pretty vigilant about it. And then all of a sudden you don't have the thought anymore. And you're like, oh my God, I've retrained my brain. This yeah. is really cool.
It's cool. I mean, we talk about neuroplasticity and chiropractic, yeah. right? And yeah. it's very the same. It's the same thing. And I know for the listeners that don't know, one, Dr. Menda has a lot of chiropractic clients. And two, Dr. DeMartini was one of her mentors, who's like one of my all-time favorite chiropractors. And I listen to his stuff. Yeah. So I find that this money mindset, why I'm talking about this, I find this money mindset and changing and retraining your brain is very similar to chiropractic principle. It fits yeah. in so well together because as chiropractors, we talk about you have responsibility for your health and you can get better and it's all internal. Nothing external is going to fix you. It's all inside. This yeah. is the same thing, right?
Like you just give your body the power to heal itself.
Yes, exactly.
Same thing. You train your brain to attract money to you.
Yeah, exactly. So that's why I love this stuff.
Yeah.
Well, speaking of law of attraction, let's talk about that a little bit.
Yeah.
One, how do you use law of attraction and like, how would you best describe what that even means?
Yeah. You know, the simplest way is to think about how you're going to attract whatever you are being and feeling. Your energetic state is what attracts to you, whether you're conscious of it or not. So no matter whether you believe in the law of attraction or not, you're attracting things to you every single day. Right. And so the trick here is to go like, ooh, I choose to use the law of attraction to my benefit instead of to have it keep attracting things that I don't want. So you get conscious about it. And, you know, the way I like to think about the law of attraction is imagining like you're a radio signal and you're just tuning into a frequency. So you're emitting a certain frequency through your energetic state, which, you know, takes into account your mindset, your energy, the feelings that you have. That's what attracts things to you. And so you're broadcasting a frequency and that is bringing that frequency to you because you're matching it. So if you're in a really low state, like frustration, fear, grief, shame, uncertainty, doubt, all of those things, you're attracting more of it to you. If you're in a state of joy, wealth, consciousness, abundance, you're attracting that to you. And so the trick here is, I have a phrase I came up with called competing commitments. And it's where your conscious and your unconscious battle against each other. And 95% of us is unconscious and only 5% of us is conscious. So if you have the conscious awareness, I'm creating a 6-figure business, a 7-figure business that serves millions and helps people heal and feel amazing. And I'm ready for that consciously, but your unconscious is like, oh my God, I got to work so hard to do this. And it's such a huge responsibility. What if I fail? What if I succeed? What if it doesn't work? All the negative things that we think, then you're basically creating a neutral system because you have this strong desire, but you have a whole bunch of beliefs and energy and bad feelings around it. You just, nothing happens or it happens. And that's why you got to work hard.
Yeah.
You know, and what we want is to attract through ease. So we want to be like client attractor magnets. And the only way to do that is to raise your state and your conscious awareness of belief in yourself.
Yeah. I think that what chiropractors do too, is they put other people's happiness in front of their own happiness.
Yeah.
And it's just like, you can't be an attractive, like you're saying, a magnet of attracting good things. Because if you're not happy, yeah. then no one's attracted to that.
Yeah.
And it's backwards, right?
Totally. What you're talking about is like a lot of entrepreneurs who are service-based have this like split with altruism and narcissism. They like are on the side of being overly altruistic and too giving, right? Yeah. So they overgive and undercharge and that leads to burnout.
Definitely. I see it all the time. Yeah. And so I always like to talk about like, if you could give one book, I know there's a million books, but if you can give like a book or something that has helped you kind of make a shift in your mindset, what would you recommend?
Oh man, that is like, if anyone could see my office, I have like thousands. I love books. I read a lot. So that's that. But I would say like a core book that really will help people break through a lot of their mindset stuck points that was fundamental in my reading was called The Big Leap by Gay Hendricks. So he's the guy who coined the term zone of genius. And he really helps you start to understand some of those subconscious sabotaging beliefs. He calls them ULPs, your upper limit problem. So it's like when you hit your upper limit and you're moving from zone of excellence to zone of genius, you often hit these sabotage points. And I actually have something written on my board. It's so fun because his daughter describes it. He hears his daughter talking to a friend about it. And she says, if you don't know it's okay to have a good time and feel good, you'll do something to mess it up. And yeah, that's what it is. Sabotage, right?
Oh yeah. It's so crazy how people sabotage themselves all the time. It's all limiting beliefs, right?
Totally.
It's all absolutely a belief that they have in their head that's not true at all.
Yeah. So that book has been fundamental to my journey and helping me break through and really creating the way that I help people see those limiting beliefs and understand their unconscious blocks.
Very cool. Well, I mean, I know you have a couple programs. What do you have to help people if they're feeling like, hey, I would love to do this. And yeah, I can read a book, but like, I need a little more guidance than that.
Yeah.
So what are you doing right now?
First, definitely have them download the NFA money formula. So if they just go to NFA, remember it stands for no fucking around, which will help you remember it. NFAmoneyformula.com. They'll get that. That's like the video cheat sheet, all kinds of cool stuff. And then I always release tons of awesomeness on YouTube. So NFA money. I just interviewed Dr. DeMartini a couple weeks ago. So good. He's such a master. I love it. And then my program that I walk people through where they can either work in a group setting or one-on-one with me is called Reprogram Your Money Mindset. So if they go to reprogramyourmoneymindsetnow.com, they can see all kinds of information there. So I walk them through 12 methods that I've used on myself, on my clients, and that just work really powerfully to start to retrain your mindset. So reprogram your money mindset now. And it's really mindset switch strategies that help you have really fast results. And so in that they get the course, they get to have access to me through an app and group training. And then they can also, if they chose to, they could do the whole one-on-one program with me as well.
Yes, I love it. And I don't know I listen to your stuff. I definitely watch your videos and I'm like, I feel like I need a little boost. And I just, nice. You know, and so I love that. And so I have different people that I listen to. You're definitely one of them. So I appreciate you coming on today and talking about this stuff. I mean, we could literally talk about this probably for hours.
Yeah.
I try to keep this podcast within 20, 30 minutes. So I think that's some great information. And I always ask this question to people about business in their life. So it's a plus and minus, I always call it. And what is the worst business decision you've ever made? And what is the best one that you've ever made?
Worst, I would say learning not to pay for things to prove to myself that I already know the answers.
Oh yeah. So you end up spending way more.
Wasting money. Yeah. Wasting money thinking I wasn't enough, you know? So it's like imposter syndrome, spending money to prove to myself and then realizing like, oh, I already knew this. I didn't need to spend this money. That's been big, like in the, you know, big, big dollar ranges. I've done that. Yeah.
Okay.
And then, you know, I'd say the best, allowing myself to do more and more and more and more and more of what I love, like living in my zone of genius and delegating, automating, and dropping anything that's not aligned with my zone of genius, because that allows me to be the most attractive to the things that I love. And then it just accelerates the joy. So it's like over, you know, I'm my fourth year in business and every year I work less, I make more, and I have more fun. And that's my ultimate quest, you know, like I choose to live in my zone of genius, build my business from my zone of genius, change the world through my zone of genius. And then everything just works out awesomely.
Yeah. And I bet you're not everything to everyone.
No, definitely not. I used to try to be.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's where, you know, joy does come in too. You're just like, this is me. This is authentic me. And if you jive with this, if you want to work with me, then great. We're going to get along. Awesome. And if you don't, that's okay.
Yeah.
You know, I think that that's another thing. I would do other podcasts on that, but like besides figuring out your money mindset, is figuring out just who you are, what do you want to do, who you want to work with, and that's okay. It's okay.
It's like staying in your lane, you know, like, and it's the thing of I'm enough. I don't need to be everything. Trying to be everything to everyone is actually a version of scarcity and you thinking you're not enough and needing to think you need to be everything to everyone instead of just being your authentic self and being able to say no to things.
That is brilliant. I'll probably steal that. And because I always talk about this, there's no original ideas. All of my ideas, my podcast is usually taken from someone that said something. And yeah. I love the way you said that because I think that it will hit well with chiropractors. Because I'll tell you what, when I give a talk to students, the arms crossed, this is when I'm like, you're not meant to serve everyone. And they just get all mad and they get their grumpy face on. And it's the thing that just, and I know it's coming, but the way that you just said that, I think that that's awesome. It's actually being, you know, not being enough and proving that you can be enough.
Yeah.
I like the way that you said that. That's great. Well, we're just about out of time. Is there anything else that you would like the students or young chiropractors to know?
I love to leave with inspiration and first know how powerful you are. You're powerful beyond your wildest dreams. And always remember that your outer world is a reflection of your inner world. So if you don't like what you're getting on the outside, you've got to change what's within. Do that and everything will work out great.
That's perfect. Thank you, Amanda, for being on. And yeah, guys, listen to her stuff. She's amazing. And I'm sure we can sit and talk about the subject for even longer. But that's all we have for today. So stay tuned. We do podcasts the first Monday and third Monday of the month. So stay tuned to more awesome interviews. I'll see you guys later.